Alrighty. Well, we are, some of y'all's phones letting you know that we just signed on Facebook, couldn't it? Well, good. Alright, Brother Ronnie, you can go ahead and start that for me. Thank you for doing that for me every week. I hope that you're going to be here at 11 o'clock every Wednesday and 6:30. You can't slack off. We're going to need you here both, so thank you for already doing that. But anyway, before we get started, I do want you to know, so I don't have to do this at the end, those of you that are listening that live around here, 2 weeks from today, on February the 3rd, we'll be starting our Wednesday morning Bible study, and that will start at 11 o'clock. So I'm excited to get started with that. So if you want to come to that, make sure that you invite somebody and come out and be with us at 11 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday morning on February the 3rd. And we'll still continue to do our 6:30 service. So we're going to have a morning and an evening service on Wednesday. So I know a lot of people do that on Sunday, but we're going to do it on Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to it, though. So, all right. If you're just joining on, make sure you get your Bible and go to Exodus chapter number 2. All right, Exodus chapter number 2. And we'll start reading, and we'll read the first 10 verses tonight. If you're ready to read them, look up at me and shake your head. There we go. All right, y'all are alive. We're good. Exodus 2, verse 1 says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name," let's say it together, "Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" May God add His blessing to His Word tonight. As you know, we're going to talk about the birth of the man that we know as Moses tonight. And the topic that I want to bring on that is this topic. Jesus quotes this in the Gospel of Mark, word for word. He says this, "Have faith in God." That's what we're going to talk about tonight. The world in which Moses was born was an evil world. The world in which Moses was born was an ungodly world. And the world in which Moses was born seemed like a very hopeless world. Church, I know that this world has been evil, ungodly, and hopeless ever since the fall of man in Genesis chapter number 3. But I want you to say amen if you agree with this statement. Doesn't it seem like since the year 2000, it seems like things have gotten that much worse? It seems like since the new millennium has hit, particularly 2001, that evil has tripled. Ungodliness has begun to spread even faster like a bad cancer. And it seems like the world is even more hopeless than it was when a lot of us were born. For the children now who are born into our society today, they are entering a totally different world than even I entered. They're entering a different world than you entered, for they are entering a world that is evil, a world that is ungodly, and a society that seems like it has no hope. And as we read our text tonight, that was the case of Moses. It was an evil world, and it seemed like there was no hope. But church, aren't you glad that though you and I are living in the midst of evil and ungodliness, that our God has not left us to fend for ourselves? Aren't you glad that our God has not left us to try and come up with our own plans to see how we're going to make it through? But God has not left us hopeless. God has not left us to fend for ourselves, and God has not left us to come up with our own plans to make it through. But God has given us a promise to hold on to. God has left us with hope. And I want you to know this. God has given us a tool whereby we can still have victory in this world. He has given us a tool whereby we can have victory in this world. In that tool, church, is faith. It is faith. Listen to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. John said, this is the victory that helps us overcome the world in which we're living, and it is our faith. You see, the only thing Moses' parents had to hold on to when their son was born into this evil world that was mixed up in wickedness and vileness and sin, the only thing they had to hold on to was their faith in their God. And church, the only possible way for you and I to find victory, the only possible way for you and I to get through this world is going to be the same way. Our faith in our God. And that's why I want to talk to you tonight about having faith in God, because faith in God is something that is about to be perfectly illustrated for us in Exodus chapter number 2. And you know, all throughout our life, people have written books, they've even made movies about the man named Moses and his faith in God and how much God accomplished through him. But many people fail to realize that the first example of faith Moses ever heard or learned about was from his mama and daddy. And it's going to tell us how critical a role parents have in the raising and in the faith of their children as well, because the first example Moses ever saw was from his mama. And that's what we're going to see tonight. I'm just going to show you three things in this text tonight, okay? Number one, I want you to see Moses' family. Moses' family is found in verse number 1. It says, there went a man of the house of Levi, took to wife a daughter of Levi. So a man from the family of Levi married a woman from the family of Levi. Now, in chapter number 2, it doesn't tell us their names. But it does tell us their names in chapter number 6, and I can't remember what verse it is. But chapter number 6, it does tell us their names. Moses' dad was named Amram, and that is in chapter 6, verse 20. Amram, A-M-R-A-M. And Moses' mother was named Jochebed. Jochebed was his mother's name. So there's Moses' parents. Amram was his father, and Jochebed was his mother. And we're going to talk about them tonight. But they were both of the house of Levi. Now let's talk about Levi for a second, okay? Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 sons of Israel, and his family tree goes like this, according to Exodus chapter number 6, all right? Levi has a son named Kohath. Kohath then has a son named Amram. Amram marries Jochebed, and they have a son named Moses. So get that in your mind right there. Levi, Kohath, Amram, and Moses. So Moses is four generations from Levi. All right? So you got that. Now let's talk about Moses' father just for a second. You'll notice there in that family tree, kind of, that Amram's father was Kohath. That means his grandfather was Levi. So Amram's grandfather was Levi, and that's very significant for this reason. How many of you had an awesome grandpa growing up? Right? A lot of people did. How many of your grandfathers told you stories? I think that's one of the greatest jobs of a grandfather, is to tell their grandchildren stories about how life was like when they were growing up, what their family was like, what their job was like. I could literally, from both of my grandpas, probably quote you some of their stories word for word, how many times they've told me certain stories and things that I've learned about them. And I tell you that because of this. Can you imagine the kind of stories Levi had for his grandson, Amram? Levi's father was Jacob, remember? Can you imagine Jacob telling his son Levi about the time he wrestled with a man? And he found out after the wrestling match that he was actually wrestling with God, and God broke his hip and God changed his name to Israel? Jacob probably told Levi that, and you know Levi told his grandson that. Levi has tons of stories to tell his grandchildren. He probably told the story about his grandfather, and his grandfather was Isaac. And I'm sure he told his grandson about the time that Isaac had to walk up as a young boy to a mount called Mount Moriah, and his father, Abraham, almost sacrificed him until the God of heaven showed up and provided a ram in his place. He probably knows the story about how Abraham came all the way from Mesopotamia, all the way into Canaan, and how God said, I'm going to give you this inheritance to live in forever. You and your family can dwell in this land forever. Levi has tons of stories about God's promise and about God's power. And during this time, these stories were passed down from generation to generation to generation. So Levi knows all about the stories we read in Genesis a few years ago about God's promise, God's power. And Levi has told his son, his grandson, Amram, all about it. He's had to. So he knew about this God and the promises that he made to this family. And what we're going to find out later on in the book of Exodus is though most of the Hebrews in Egypt have now turned their back on God, they have now turned to the Egyptian gods and began to worship them. Though a lot of families of the Hebrews did that, I need you to know this, the family of Amram didn't. The family of Amram did not, for he, his wife, and his firstborn son, whose name was Aaron, they were ones who worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it could be said this about Amram, that he had the same attitude as Joshua. Remember, Joshua was looking around at the people of Israel and said, listen, choose you whom you want to serve. Choose whom you want to worship. But then what did he say? As for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. And Amram could probably be quoted saying the same thing. They may go against the Lord, but he's the father of the house. He's the leader of the house. He says, but me and my house, my wife and my children, we are going to serve the Lord. And that was his attitude. How many of you know this? Serving the Lord has challenges. Serving the Lord has its challenges. And those challenges that we face, church, require faith. They require faith. So that's the first thing that I want you to see is Moses' family is a godly family, all right? The next thing that I want you to see is not only Moses' family, but Mama's faith. Mama's faith is found in verses 2 through 4. The Bible says, and the woman, which is Moses' mother, conceived and bare a son. When she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. So these man and the woman get together, Moses' parents, and they conceive and they have a son. Now usually any time throughout the whole entire history of earth, one of the greatest joys that ever come to a man and a woman having a child is to have a son, is to have a daughter. One of the greatest joys in the world is when a newborn baby is brought into the family. It brings joy to everybody. But it was not the case in Exodus 2. Because in this nation, during this season, having a son was met with worry. It was met with fear. And it was met with hardly any joy from anyone. You say, why is that? Because you'll remember in Exodus chapter number 1, the last verse says this. Pharaoh charged all of his people saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. For now Pharaoh no longer cares if this is a private thing. He said, we're making this public. We have got to get rid of these Hebrew people, particularly the males. So he says to his people, to his soldiers, if you spot a male newborn child anywhere, it is your order, it is your command, and it is your job publicly to take them and cast them into the Nile River so that we can get rid of them. It's no longer a private thing. It's a public law to kill all male newborns of the Jews. Now, you want to talk about a great trial? Can you imagine the trial of this father and mother? Having just had one of the greatest joys of their life, now they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to hide him from everyone. And this has brought a great challenge into this family. And you know, for you and I, we face challenges too, don't we? And how often, when challenges come into our life, the first thing that we do is shout, God, I'm trusting you. Is that, sorry, if that's y'all, that ain't me. The first thing we do when challenges come into our life, it starts with a D, doubt. Doubt. For instance, let's say, man, you got an awesome job. But there started to be problems at your job that you can't stand going to every day. And the first thing you start to think now is this. Maybe I shouldn't have got this job. Maybe God didn't really want me to get this job. Let's say you start having problems in your marriage. Usually the first thing that might come into your mind is, maybe God didn't want me to get married. Maybe this isn't what God wanted. If you're in ministry, it starts to become a war, and it's conflict, and it's trouble all the time. You find yourself asking the question, maybe God didn't really lead me here. Maybe this is something that God didn't want for me. Maybe I shouldn't even started ministry. You see, the tendency that no matter what kind of trial you're going through, the automatic tendency is to start doubting God. And to start doubting ourselves whether we even made the right decision. And you can imagine, all right, this husband and this wife have just had a son. And you can imagine the first thing in their mind is just that. Maybe we shouldn't even have tried. Maybe we shouldn't have even tried for a son, because now look at what we've got to go through. He's facing death every second now of his life. And we're going to have to do something about it. The question they find doubting maybe is, should we have even have had a child? Can I tell you the answer? Yes. The answer is yes. Because most of the time, God brings conflict and trials and challenges into our life to test our faith. And the only way for our faith to grow and to get stronger is it's got to be tested. So often in our doubt, maybe this, maybe not this, God is saying, yes, that's fine. I'm just testing you a little bit. Stay where you are. Just start trusting me. You see, because the opposite of doubt is faith. And church, that is exactly what Moses' mama had. She had faith in God. Faith to trust God even when challenges in her life arose. And that is exactly what we need in our life when challenges come up. Not doubt, but faith. Not doubt, but faith. Because that is what she showed here. Now, I'm going to give you two ways Moses' mother showed faith during this challenge. Number one, She showed faith by resting on God's promise. She showed faith by resting on God's promise. Verse 2 tells us that Moses has just been born. Look at what it says. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child. That word goodly means good looking. Or in my translation, it means cute as a button. Y'all heard that before? He's cute as a button. Some of y'all said that to that little boy that sits down there. She saw her little boy that he was cute as a button. And therefore, the Bible says she hid him for 3 months. Now, I read a lot differently into stuff. Probably a lot of people don't. It says when she saw that he was basically a good-looking child, that's when she decided to hide him. I don't know if that means if he was ugly, she's just going to be like, you know what, never mind. Or, I don't know. See, that's my mind when I start reading stuff. But anyway, when she saw Moses, I want you to think about this. All right? She did not give in to Pharaoh's order. Neither did she give in to the doubt that rose up in her mind that maybe this shouldn't have even happened. But Moses' mother gave in to one thing, her faith. She gave in to her faith. How? The Bible tells you. She hid him for 3 months. That's faith. And I'll show you why in a second. Because remember, Pharaoh's men were out literally every day lurking with an order. If you spot a male child of the Hebrews, kill him. Cast him into the river. But Moses' mother was not afraid of Pharaoh. Moses' mother did not doubt God's protection. For by faith, she hid her little son for 3 months. And listen, because of that very decision, Moses' mother was put in God's hall of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 is all about how God's people showed faith in God when everything was challenging. Remember it says, by faith Noah built the ark. By faith Noah left his home. By faith Moses split the Red Sea. By faith Daniel and David and Rahab and all of these people that we heard about our whole entire life growing up, Abraham, Moses, David, all these people. Well, guess what? Moses' mama's in there too. For one reason. Verse 2. She hid him for 3 months. And she was not afraid of Pharaoh's commandment. By faith, Hebrews 11, verse 23, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. The daddy gets a little credit in Hebrews too, all right? Why? Because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Moses' mother and father hid Moses by faith. And I'll be honest with you. I was reading this, and I said, now hold on. Don't you think that most mamas would have done just what she did? If their son was born, wouldn't it have just been an instinct to say, no. Can't have my baby. Can't have my son. Is that right? If you are even a decent mother, you would have done the same thing she did. You say, well, what's so great about this then? Here's what makes the difference. Most mothers would have done it because of their instinct. Most mothers would have done it just to protect their child. But what made Moses' mother's act so special was she did it not trusting in herself. She did it trusting in God to take care of him. You see, unbelieving mothers would have done the exact same thing. They would have took care of their son. But you know how they'd have done it? Trusting their self to do it. But Jochebed said, no. I'm not going to trust myself. I'm going to trust God. And that's what made the difference there in the book of Hebrews. She trusted God by one way, resting on His promise. You say, what promise was she resting on? I'd love to tell you. It's found in Genesis chapter number 15. Yeah, that's way back from where we are. But God made a promise just about this. You ready? Genesis chapter number 15, verses 12 through 16. God is talking to Abraham. This is generations before Moses was even thought about. Genesis 15, verse number 13. God said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, They shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance, and that you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come here again. Remember, Amram was the grandson of Levi, which was the great-grandson of Abraham. So Amram knows all of these promises that God has already given. Here's the promise that God gave Abraham in Genesis 15. Number one, Abraham, I'm telling you this, your family are going to be slaves for 400 years. For 400 years in Egypt, your family is going to be slaves. Here's the second promise he gave him. After 400 years, I'm going to judge that nation that made you slaves. Y'all ready for the third promise? He said, but in the fourth generation, they will come out. Let me remind you of point number one. The first generation that went into Egypt was Levi. Go ahead and count. You know who was the fourth generation?
Moses.
Amram knew this promise. And when his two boys, Aaron and Moses, were born, you can only imagine ringing through his head that whole entire time was, hey, it's almost time. It's almost time, because God said in the fourth generation, we're getting out of here. In the fourth generation, we're getting out of here. So you know what Moses' mama's faith rested upon? That promise. She said, I am not casting my son into the river, because any day now God's going to bring us out of this place. And she rested upon that promise. And she's just thinking, if I can just hold on to Moses a little bit longer, any day now God will fulfill His promise. And we're out of here. You see, that is exactly what faith does, church. It rests on a promise. That is what faith is. It doesn't rest blindly. It rests on a promise. And my soul, I don't know if you've read the Bible lately, but how many precious promises do we have to stand on? How many promises do we have to hold on to? Listen, when our bills are running high, when our bills are overdue, and it seems like we don't have the money to pay, in God's plan, in God's Word, we can hold on and we can stand on the promise that says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise we can hold on to. When our health is starting to get bad, and when everything around us, issues begin to arise, and it seems like it is too much for us to handle, God gave us a promise. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. No matter what circumstance you're in, God's promise is that my grace can get you through. You wake up in the mornings and you're dealing with problems. You say, I'm really not sure if I can make it to tonight. I'm not sure if I can deal with this situation a whole nother day. But yet you find Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What a promise we can hold on to when we don't know which direction to go, when we don't know which decision to make in our life, and we have no idea what step we need to take next. You can go to the book of Psalm and it says, I will show you the path of life. I will guide you with my eye upon you, and I will show you the way to go. We've got so many promises that you and I can stand on in the Word of God tonight. And what a joy that is to know that though doubt comes, there's a promise that I'm standing on. And by faith, church, is how we rest on those promises. Not by the way we feel, but by what God said He would do. And I don't know if you've recognized it, but when God says He's going to do something, you can trust it. He's done it every time, and He sure enough won't stop now. When the challenges in our life arise, let's follow this example. Stand on the promises of God. Instead of letting the devil plant seeds of doubt, let God plant the seed of His Word and stand on it by faith. But here's what's next, and I'll move on. Not only Moses' mother, she had faith that rested on God's promise, but she also had faith that ran with God's plan. She knew God's plan, and she went with it. Now, I want you to know this. Here's what's next, and we'll go on to that one. There comes a time in our life when our faith in God must move past our attitude and must be put into action. See, it's easy when we got bills due to say, God, I trust you. A little bit harder when God says, all right, we'll do this. It's easy to say, God, I trust you for what's coming next. A little bit harder when God says, all right, we'll step over here and then I'll take you to what's next, right? But there comes times in our life where we have to move past saying we trust God and we have to do what He says by faith and step out in obedience and not just say we trust you, God, show we trust you, God, by what we do. And that's exactly what Moses' mother did here in verse number 2 and 3. The Bible says in verse 3, I don't know about y'all, man, I could read this story every day. It's an amazing story. Verse 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she could no longer hide him. See, for 3 months, everything was good. The Bible says near the 3 month mark, she couldn't hide him anymore. Now, I know this now. At 3 months, a baby starts babbling. At 3 months, a baby starts moving a lot more than they used to. At 3 months, a baby starts screaming a little bit. At 3 months, they start getting a little personality. At 3 months, they start being very attentive. And there's Moses. 3 months old in the camp, being hid for 3 months, but now he's just letting it rip. Loud as can be. And soon, because of that, there's no way people wouldn't find out there's a little male baby in there. And if Pharaoh's men were to even hear a little squeal, Moses was a goner. So as any mama would do, she goes to the Lord. As any mama should do, she goes to the Lord. And she begins crying out for help. She cries out for direction on what she needs to do in prayer. And I'm so glad God hears and answers our prayer. Because, church, there is zero doubt in my mind that God Almighty was the one who put this plan into this mama's heart. That God was the one who come up with this plan and said, here's the plan. If you'll just trust me and do it, I'll do the rest. If you will just trust me and do it, I'll take care of the rest. You say, what was the plan? You ready? Here's God's plan to this mother. Give me what you're trying to protect, and I'll protect it better than you ever could. Give me what you are trying to protect, and I will protect it better than you ever could. Jochebed tried as any mother could to hold on to her son, and she was, I guarantee you, willing to protect him with her life, to lay down her life instead of him. But now God comes to her and says, let him go. God comes to her and says, stop trying to protect him. Let me protect him. And I can imagine she says, doesn't make sense, God. How can I protect my little boy by letting him go? And God says this, because you're letting him go to me. Because you're letting him go to me. do we realize that things in our hands are a whole lot less secure than when they're in God's hands? But one of the hardest things to do is to give whatever is in our hands and put it in God's hands when He says, I want it. That's what He says. Give them to me, and I'll do what you can't. And that may be what He's saying to somebody tonight. Give me what you're trying to hold on to, and I'll do what you can't even possibly do. So this mother has heard God's plan, and by faith it's just time to do what God said to do. That's the only option. It is time to do what God said to do, and here's the plan God gave her. Make an ark, bulrushes. Daub it with slime and with pitch. She did that. You got just a little basket. She makes sure absolutely no water could get in that basket. And she makes it perfect. She lays her child in that basket. And can you imagine the walk she had to that river that day? She's walking to the river with her son. And every step she's taken, she said, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trusting you. God, I don't know what to do, but I'm just trusting. You told me to do this, so I'm just going to do it. And she lays Moses in the basket. And now most of the stories you read growing up says she put her son in the river and just let him go. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says she placed him very strategically in the river. She didn't just let him go with the stream. She said, this is what God told me to do. I'm going to place him right here around these reeds so there's no chance the stream takes him away. He's going to be right here because God has a plan. And that's exactly what she did. She laid everything she had down right there. And I can imagine she says a little prayer and walks away bawling her eyes out saying, God, I just trust you to take care of my son. Do what only you can do. And verses 5 through 10 tell us exactly what God did. And that's point 3. Not only Moses' family, Mama's faith, but the Master's favor, God's blessing on this act of faith. You ready? All of a sudden, I love saying all of a sudden when it comes to God because it's not all of a sudden. The Bible says in verse number 5, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maids walked along the riverside. And she saw the ark among the flags, and she sent her maid to fetch it. So Pharaoh's daughter probably comes to this place once or twice a day. God knows that. So she comes to this side of the Nile River, and all of a sudden out of the corner of her eye she sees something over there that she's never seen before when she comes, and she sees this little basket and she says, hey girls, why don't y'all go see what that is and bring it to me? And they bring her this little basket and she opens the basket and it's a little tiny boy, and the Bible says he's weeping because he's all alone. And Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on him. And then all of a sudden, probably about 100 feet away, is Moses' sister named Miriam. And Miriam sees what's going on and she said, all right, Mama told me, when that happens, to say this. Do you want me to find someone to nurse this child for you? I see that you love this child. I see that you want this child, but this child needs food. This child needs to be fed, and you can't feed it. Do you want me to find somebody? She said, go find somebody to feed my child. And I can imagine Miriam starts leaping back home. And she says, Mama, 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 God did it. God did it. Come on, she wants to see you. And you can imagine she starts crying and she says, I got to pull this together and act like nothing has happened. I don't know anything. She comes to Pharaoh's daughter and she says, she said that you wanted to see me. And Pharaoh's daughter says this, take this child away and nurse it for me. And let me add something in for you. I will give you your wages. So not only is Moses' mama got him back, she's getting paid for raising him. Now let me ask you something. Ain't that like our God? That is exactly what God does for people when they put their trust in Him. And verse number 10 says, and the child grew. She got to raise Moses as her own. I don't know if it was 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, however long it took to continue to feed him and to wean him, whatever it was. But you can imagine when Pharaoh's daughter looked at Moses' mother and said, take this child back home with you, and I'll come get him a little bit later on. You can imagine, as she grabs her little child again, the only thing she could think is this, God did it. God did it. God did exactly as He said He was going to do, and I'm so thankful that I trusted in Him. Because God did it. Church, I don't know about y'all, but the greatest feeling in this life is when we trust God to do something big and He comes through and He does it. Yeah, it hurt at the time. It brought tears at the time. It took a broken heart at the time. It took great faith at the time. But when God comes through and He does it, there's no feeling like it in this whole entire world. And she begins to cry, God did it. God did it. God did it. And she got to raise Moses as her own. Wow. And next week we'll see what she had to do a little bit later when Moses was grown. But you know, to see God this way in our lives, it takes faith and it takes obedience, just like Moses' mother had. It's going to take us giving up what He asked us to give up. And the question I want to ask you tonight is this. What are you holding on to that God said, give it to me? God has been saying, give it to me for a long time. What are you holding on to that God is asking you to give up? The best thing for us to do is to let it go out of our hands and put it in His. And it takes faith to do it. But all throughout Scripture, when people put their faith in God and they did just what He said to do, you know what happened? They watched God's miracles start working. And I don't know about you, I don't want to wait until I get to heaven to see God's miracles, to see God's power, and to see Him. I want to see Him down here. But it takes faith and it takes obedience to just do what He tells us to do. So I ask you tonight, whatever He's telling you to do, whatever He's telling us to do, step out and do it and watch Him work. Father, thank You so much for this awesome story tonight of a man and a woman that put their trust in You in the midst of troubling circumstances, in the midst of not even knowing what to do. God, You told them exactly what to do. And they just simply trusted You, and they believed You, and they by faith watched You work. So Lord, tonight I pray that You'd help us as we may not go through the severity of this circumstance, but Lord, we go through challenges and conflicts and so many questions in our lives, and we have no idea what to do. But God, I'm so thankful we can stand on Your promise that You said You would guide Your children every step of the way, and You would tell us what to do. We would just seek You. So Lord, I pray that You'd help us to seek You and to obey You, just as these people did in Your word. And we're so thankful for the example they left us. And help us to follow it so that we may see You work in our lives. We do love You and thank You for Your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
and amen.